Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, many people may be fasting today, so to digress from giving a talk, rather give a history lesson, so people don't feel too sleepy also, especially when a bayan has been given, people have spent part of the night in ibadah, and there was a bayan last night. So just on a light note, the late Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan, Rahmatullah Ali, a teacher to many of us here. So one day he went to a masjid, and while speaking in that masjid, in a big masjid, he said to the audience that, "Lighties, listen to what I'm saying." So he came back to school and he's telling me, you know what I did today? I used the word lighties, you know. So he said, you can't blame me, I'm a school teacher. And he was a lover of history, historian of note. So he used to love speaking about history in the Juma Bayan as well. Now, to digress, I want to give a bit of history into the legacy that has been left behind by our akabirin. Al-barakatu ma'a akabirihim. That barakah is with our seniors, with our elders, the legacy they have left behind in this country. What we are seeing in South Africa today is commendable indeed. We have a very, very rich legacy as far as Muslims and Islam is concerned. While Islam came first to the Western Cape, the Cape of Good Hope, Islam only came much later to the colony of Natal, as it was called. And the first Muslims that came to the colony of Natal was in 1858. Now, how many of our youth, or how many of our adults know the history and our legacy that we come from, and the contribution that our elders have made in preserving Islam in this country? If we go to many other countries in the world, and just to give you an example, a real example, a practical example, some years back we were working in Syria, and we were within Turkey, the Turkish border, and it was the month of Ramadan, and obviously at the time of iftar, long summer's day, we want to go to the masjid, and we want to meet our fellow Muslim brothers. So in a particular town, we went to the Jamia Masjid. Huge masjid, beautiful masjid. Century-old masjid built by the Ottomans. So when we went there towards Maghrib time, we noticed that everything was closed. The gates were closed, the masjid door was closed. I'm talking about Muslim Turkey in the last few years, where there are over 86,000 masajids, a majority Muslim country. So when we go for iftar there to the masjid, the muazzin came to tell us that the masjid is closed. There's no Maghrib salah, there's nothing happening in the masjid. You must come back at Isha time. I'm talking about a Jamia Masjid in a Muslim country. This is the condition in some of the Muslim countries. So when we came back for Isha, the Taraweeh was led. Every rakat there was just one ayat read. No Khatmul Quran. In Turkey today, Muslim Turkey today, you will not find a single masjid, a big masjid, where Khatmul Quran is done. If you go to the Blue Masjid or the Hagia Sophia or the Soleimani Masjid, those are the huge monumental masajid in Istanbul, which was the capital of Islam at one time, the time of the Ottomans. You will not find a khatam of the Quran being made. Every rakat is one ayat read, and that's how 20 rakats are read. Within half an hour, everything is over. So, on the converse, see what we have in this country, which is not even a Muslim country, which is a secular country, predominantly so-called Christian country. Today, we can't find venues for Hufaz to make Khatmul Quran. There is not a masjid that we have in South Africa today where a Khatam of the Quran is not made. There is so many homes, musallas, jamaat khanas, garages, factories, businesses where Khatmul Qurans are made. And not once, but several sometimes also. Have we understood how fortunate we are? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Rabb will you deny? So Islam came to us with a lot of effort. Our pious predecessors made a lot of effort on our deen and our iman. And that is why we have what we have today. We take it for granted. There were ulama 100 years ago when Ataturk came to power. Then in 1925, the Hat Act was passed in secular Turkey. The Hat Act. It was prohibited for a male. First they attacked the male, then the female. Before they went for the hijab and the scarf, they went for the male first. That the Hat Act was passed in 1925, that no Muslim man is allowed to wear a fez. The fez used to be worn here in Durban by our elders. They used to wear the fez, the Ottoman fez. It was a symbol of Islam and Muslims. Ulama gave their lives for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They gave their lives for it. And recently, an alim, it was 100 years since he passed away, a Turkish alim, who decided rather to give his life for the sake of the haq, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yet today we are making it shaheed voluntarily. Something which is so entrenched in our sunnah, in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that never did he make a salah without his head covered, except in the state of ihram. Never ever did the Prophet ﷺ make any salah, it's not documented, any salah that he made, without his head covered, except in the state of ihram. And on one occasion he made salah out of the state of ihram, and that was in the battle of Uhud, and that was just a nafil salah when he was injured. So something as important as the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, how we should be holding on to it, how our elders held on to it, that our youth, when we see them not observing the sunnah, are we going to remain silent and quiet? Or are we going to encourage them and give them targhib in a good manner of wearing the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? So coming back to the legacy they left behind. So the first Muslims came here in 1858. And they were Chinese and Malay Muslims. They came to work in Amzin Tok, in the sugarcane fields. They came as laborers. Not much is documented about them. But in 1860, the Muslims that came, they are documented. So in 1860, Muslims came on the SS Truro, and nearby the hall is named after that particular ship. So there were 342 indentured laborers that came from India, and it took them 34 days to travel from India to South Africa, and they laid anchor on the South Beach port of Durban. And in this 342 indentured laborers that came, only 9 were Muslim. 9 out of 342 were Muslim. So those were the first Muslims documented who came to Durban or to Natal. And on the completion of their indentured labor contract, of these 24 Muslims that came of the 342, 9 remained in Durban. Only 9 remained in Durban. And of those 9, one is very famous, famously known as Basha Pir, but his name was actually Sheikh Ali Wali Ahmad. He was born in Madras in 1820, and he passed away in 1894, buried in the Brook Street Qabristan in Durban. So he was one of those 9 families that remained, and he wasn't married, he neither had a family as well. Between 1860 and 1861, 5 more ships came. And on these ships, there were 1,360 men, women and children. 1,360. Of this figure, 12% were Muslims only. Then in 1869, the first trader arrived from Gujarat and Kathiawar by the name of Abu Bakr Ahmad Javeri. So he was the first merchant that arrived to the shores of Durban from India as a passenger or as a trader. And Abu Bakr Ahmad Javeri was born in Paul Bandar in the year 1850. He settled in Verulam, north of Durban. And here the first masjid, I never knew this till I researched it also. And I'm sure many of you do not know where the first masjid was built and when it was built. So the first masjid that was built in Natal was in Verulam in 1871. It was built by Abu Bakr Ahmad Javeri. And that masjid stands till today. The Sunni Muhammadan masjid in Verulam still stands there till today from 1871. Obviously it was renovated along the years, but that was the first masjid in Natal. Very interesting. Then Abu Bakr Ahmad Javeri moved to Durban. From Verulam, he relocated to Durban. And in Durban, there wasn't a single masjid. There was a room used, a little house owned by K. Munsami in Durban, which was used as a place of salah for the few Muslims that resided there. And in 1871, so he came to Sada, this first masjid was established in 1871. On the 5th of August 1881, Abu Bakr Ahmad Javeri purchased this house, K. Munsami's house, as for a masjid. And in 1884, he built and established the first masjid in Natal, the Grey Street Juma Masjid. So that's the very first masjid, the Juma Masjid of Grey Street in Durban itself. 1 year later, the West Street Surti Masjid was established, Anjuman Islam Surti Masjid was established in 1885, the famous West Street Masjid. And the first imam was an Arab imam, name unknown till today. So this is a brief history of the various masajid. Then other masajid were established, and I'll just give you the year of establishment. 1900, the Queensbridge Masjid was established. In 1903, the Stanger Masjid was established. In 1920, the May Street Masjid was established. In 1934, the Darul Yatama Wal Masakin Orphanage was established. In 1943, the Natal Muslim Council was formed, a body of Muslims, the first body of Muslims. 1943, which was attended by 750 Muslims. In 1947, the Ahmadiyya School, built by the Lockhart family in Mayville, was established. In 1947, the South Coast Madrasa in Clarewood was established. In 1953, the Anjuman Islam School in Leopold Street, Durban, was established. And in 1959, the Orient Islamic Institute was established in Greyville, where it still stands till today. There was a significant impact made by none other than Hazrat Sufi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who came to South Africa, who returned to South Africa. Hazrat Sufi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali did come to South Africa, returned to India, and on the instruction of his murshid in Hyderabad, he was instructed to come back to South Africa. So in 1895, he arrived on the shores of Durban again, and he established in 1896 the Riverside Masjid. In 1984, the Westville Sufi Masjid. In 1905, the 45th Qatim Masjid. And he established many other masajid in the Western Cape, in Lesotho, and several other masajid as well. And Hazrat Sufi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, and he is buried in the Riverside. In 1899, the Junction Masjid was established in Clarewood. The biggest population of Indians out of India at that time was in Clarewood, in Durban. So the Junction Masjid, it had the largest population of Indians, like I mentioned, outside of India. And then various other masajids were established along the years. So this is a very, very brief history of Muslims and our legacy in Natal. In 1904, the entire population of Durban was 1 million. The entire population of Durban was 1 million. Of that 1 million population, 100,000 people were Indians. And of the 100,000 Indians that resided in 1904 in Durban, 10% only were Muslims. So roughly about 10,000 Muslims only. 87% were Hindu and 3% were Christian. So this is a brief history, a very, very brief history of our legacy and the efforts that went into the preservation of being. Now coming back to the West Street Masjid and the Grey Street Masjid. So, like I mentioned, that the first imam of the West Street Masjid was an Arab person, name unknown. In the early 1900s, the Taraweeh Salah was led by the grandfather of the late Ibrahim Musa from Westville. His grandfather led the Taraweeh Salah here at the West Street Masjid for some years. And there was no alim. There were hardly any ulama in Durban. Hardly any ulama. Here and there, and none of them could speak English. And in 1944, an alim was brought to South Africa who became the imam of the West Street Masjid by the name of Qari Nurul Haq Faruqi, who was a graduate of Darul Ulum Deoband. He remained in West Street for 11 years, and in 1955, the late Maulana Abdul Rahman Ansari Rahmatullah Ali, who is well known to most of the elderly people here, Maulana Abdul Rahman Ansari Rahmatullah Ali was brought from Glencoe, born in India, and from Rampur, a place called Rampur, born there, He came to South Africa and his brother, and from Glencoe Wash Bank, he was brought to become the Imam of the West Street Masjid. He was a prolific speaker, great alim of his time. He was also from the progeny of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a descendant of a sahabi, radiyallahu anhu. So Mawlana Abdul Rahman Ansari remained the Imam of the West Street Masjid till 1986, when he passed away on the 9th of April. It was a Monday that he passed away. So he remained the Imam of this Masjid for 31 long years. So that's a brief history of the West Street Masjid. The West Street Masjid, the first child that became a Hafiz, Durban-born, local-born child that became a Hafiz in the West Street Masjid, was my honorable father, Hafiz Yusuf Ismail Muhammadi, Rahmatullah Alayh, who became a Hafiz around the year 1925-1926. And he performed Taraweeh Salah in the West Street Masjid for 37 years, uninterrupted, for 37 long years, till he moved to Westville. So this is a brief history of some of the masajid and the efforts that we made. Now, coming to an important point, the Jamiatul Ulama was the first Muslim body of ulama, that was formed in Natal. And in 1955, 12 ulama, just 12 in the whole of Natal, 12 ulama of different persuasions, Deobandi, Barelvi, they got together and they formed the Jamiatul Ulama on the 15th of January at the East Street Masjid in Pietermaritzburg. And the reason for the formation of the Jamiatul Ulama in 1955, it just observed its 70th milestone, 70th anniversary or milestone. And what was the purpose of its formation? The purpose of its formation was for the preservation of the Islamic education of our children. That was the core purpose why it was formed. And these ulama, only one could speak English, and that was Maulana Qasim Muhammad Seema, rahimahullah, born in 1920. He was the only person who could speak. Once I mentioned to him that, I said, Maulana, you have very beautiful handwriting, mashallah. So he replied to me, what you think? I'm a standard 5 graduate. That was his reply. So he was quite proficient in English, in Zulu, in Arabic, in Farsi, in Gujarati, multilingual, mashallah. So the task was given to Maulana Qasim Muhammad Seema that you must formulate a syllabus for the Muslim children of Natal, which he very, very diligently did. And the entire older generation has been through that syllabus and still using that syllabus till today after it has been modified several times over. So we grew up on that particular syllabus that was formed and which was given birth to in 1955. Today we see in our country that people from throughout the world are coming to study in our country. Makkah Mukarramah, they're coming to South Africa. Medina Munawwara, they're coming to South Africa. From the lands of Sham, Palestine, from Gaza, from all over the world, people are coming to our shores. What are they coming here for? They are coming here for higher Islamic studies. We have such luminaries teaching in our madaris, in our Darul Ulooms, that we haven't really appreciated what we have here. Once Mufti Ibrahim Sadiji Sahib, principal of Spingo Beach, he mentioned to us, he says, all that we see here, all that we are seeing around here, all these masajid, these madaris, he says it was because of the sincerity of those pious predecessors, their efforts, the preservation of iman, the preservation of our identity, that today we are seeing the fruits of their labor. And indeed it is the fruits of their labor. So it is part of our heritage that we need to know our own history. We need to know this legacy. We need to cherish this legacy. It's a very rich legacy that has come down to us. If you look at Muslims, Arabs, who are Sayyid, who are from the progeny of Sahaba, when they moved to South America, and ask those South African ulama who are making effort in South America currently as we are here, ask them what happened to those Arab Muslims. People from the progeny of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, they didn't only lose their identity, they lost their Islam completely. Ask those jamaats that traverse those areas in South America, that there's nothing left of Islam. Nothing left. Person will remember that my great-grandfather was a Muslim, and they take out something from the archives. So there's nothing left of Islam. and compare that with what we have here, that Islam is rich and it's alive. But we cannot take this for granted. There's much more to share with you, perhaps in the future, inshallah. But let us not take it for granted. What we have with us, let us not lose it. Today we are losing our children to irtidad, to apostasy. In Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, he mentioned that we are going towards an era of intellectual apostasy. It's not apostasy openly, it's intellectual apostasy. Irtidad. We are moving into that era. So it's very, very important that we preserve the deen, the iman of our children. We ensure that our children are grounded in Islamic knowledge from a young age. And let us not overlook the maktab, that humble madrasa. That is a fortress of our iman. No matter we send our children to so-called Muslim schools, but the maktab has a distinct identity. The maktab differentiates itself from the school. It's a rich legacy, that maktab. And those maktabs from the time of the arrival of our pious ulama, that maktab has been entrenched throughout this country, and perhaps that may have been the cause of the preservation of our iman and our Islam. So this is just a very, there's much more, inshallah, we'll share more information. I just would like to terminate with this, Maulana Ilyas, Muhammad Ilyas Patel, Hafizahullah. He was our guest speaker at the Jamiatul Ulama AGM, the 70th AGM. And he mentioned that مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ يَبَقَى, that what is for Allah remains. Imam Malik rahimahullah compiled the Muwatta, the famous hadith compilation. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that after the Quran and Majid, the most authentic kitab on the surface of the earth under the sun is Muwatta Imam Malik. So he was taking his time when many other muhaddithun, they were compiling their Muwattas. So somebody mentioned to him that by the time you finish your compilation, others would have completed theirs. So what did he say? مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ يَبَقَى. What is for Allah, it will remain. And today the Muwatta Imam Malik is taught across the world. It shows that sincerity, dedication, steadfastness, it endures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep our iman, preserve our iman. Allah, keep this legacy that has been left behind for us. Allah, keep this legacy alive for us at all times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.